Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَحْصَيْنَاهُ فِي إِمَامٍ مُبِينٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created countless signs that reflect His existence and attributes. Every creation in this world is a sign of God that points towards Allah's existence and towards some of His attributes. When you delve into any particular creation, you start to see wonders that prove the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that manifest His greatness, His excellence, power, knowledge, wisdom, etc. However, the greater the sign, the more it will reflect Allah's attributes. Hence, the greatest signs in existence reflect Allah's attributes subhanahu wa ta'ala to an extreme. The greatest signs in existence are those that reflect the existence and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a unique manner. Who are those signs? The 14 infallibles, Alu Muhammad, peace be upon them all. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. Imam Ali alayhi salatu salam says on this regard, he says, مَا لِلَّهِ آيَةٌ أَكْبَرُ مِنِّي. There is no sign of God that is greater than me. Bear in mind that Muhammad is Ali and Ali is Muhammad. The tradition does not mean that the Imam, peace be upon him, is greater than his teacher, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. However, the tradition confirms that the commander of the faithful and his likes, meaning the 14 infallibles, peace be upon them all, are the greatest signs of God subhanahu wa ta'ala. How could they not be when they were created before anything else? When they were the first light created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before creating the heavens and the earth. Thus, if you want to gain understanding concerning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His attributes, look at Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them. Look at their excellence, look at their attributes, and you'll have a much greater understanding of the Almighty God. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala touches on many attributes of His in the Holy Quran. He touches upon His knowledge, telling you that Allah is aware of all things. Allah knows everything. إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. The question is, how can I, as a creation of God, a limited creation of God, understand the vastness of Allah's knowledge? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indirectly or directly tells you, look at my signs. Look at the greatest signs of God. Look at their knowledge, and definitely your understanding of His knowledge will intensify. When we come to the knowledge of Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, what do we see? We see that our Imams, peace be upon them, possess knowledge of all issues concerning Islam. That is a given. Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, know any issue that is connected or related to Islam, such as tafsir, such as the traditions of the Prophet, halal and haram, jurisprudence, Islamic morals, etc. But do they know more than that? Do they know about natural sciences? Do they know about the secrets that lie within this universe? This is a question, right? A question that might be asked. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, makes two declarations. One day, he is standing beside the Holy Kaaba. As he's standing beside the Holy Kaaba, the Imam, peace be upon him, swears by the Lord of the Kaaba three times, swearing by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says that if I were present with Musa and Khidr, peace be upon them both, I would have informed them, I would inform them of things that they do not know. Meaning, his knowledge exceeds the knowledge of Musa and Khidr, peace be upon them both. In a second tradition, The Imam reveals some of the secrets concerning the knowledge of Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, as he tells a group of his companions. He tells them, "Inni a'lam ma fi as-samawati wal aradin." Says, "Surely I know whatever occurs on earth and whatever occurs in the heavens, in the skies." In other words, I know of all issues that pertain to the skies and all issues that pertain to the lands. Secondly, he says, وَأَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَالنَّارِ. And I know what occurs in heaven and what occurs in hell. What lies in heaven and what lies in hell. Thirdly, he says, وَأَعْلَمُ مَا كَانَ وَمَا يَكُونَ. And I possess the knowledge of the past and the future. When he said this, peace be upon him, the faces changed. Some individuals had trouble digesting the words of the Imam, peace be upon him. And so Imam al-Sadiq wanted to clarify how could he and the rest of the Imams, peace be upon them, possess such knowledge. Thus he said, "Inni alimtu thalik min kitab Allah." I know all of these issues from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed the knowledge of all things where? In the holy book. What he means to say, peace be upon him, is that we, Ahlul Bayt, understand the Quran inside out. The Quran has a surface. The likes of me and you connect with the surface of the Quran. But the Quran also has an inside. It has a surface and an inside. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi says on this regard, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin. He says on this regard that the Quran, lahu dhahrun wa batn. Quran has a surface and an inside. What is its surface? He says its surface is wisdom and its inside is immense knowledge. Now, we connect with the surface, whereas Ahlul Bayt connect with the surface and the inside. They know it inside out. Quran contains the knowledge of the past and the future. It contains the knowledge of all things. You might ask, if this is the case, then why don't we see Quranic verses speaking about, for example, spaceships? Quranic verses speaking about, let's say, certain types of medicine? Why don't we see Quranic verses speaking about certain secrets that we discovered today? Although there are Quranic verses, clear, decisive verses, mentioning scientific facts that were discovered today or a century ago. In other words, that were discovered centuries after the descent of the Holy Book. The answer is, the Quran, as we said, has a surface, right? The surface presents what? Presents general verses that guide the likes of me and you. The main point behind this holy book is to do what? Is to turn you into a human being, an actual human. A human that deserves the likes of Jibra'il, peace be upon him, to prostrate for. The real human being. Quran tries to guide you. That is the main point behind the book, to guide you and to turn you into an actual human. Now, when we delve into the inside of the book, the inside of the Holy Quran, over there you'll see wonders and wonders. But who can reveal the inside of the Holy Book? Those who know the book inside out. Hence, if you were to ask the Imam, peace be upon him, where does Allah Ta'ala mention spaceships in the Quran, the Imam would tell you. The Imam would decode the verse for you and show you where it mentions spaceships. If you were to ask him, where is it said in the Holy Quran that there are, for example, 9 planets or 8 planets in our solar system, if there aren't more, of course, the Imam, peace be upon him, would decode the verse and show you. Hence, the Quran contains the knowledge of all things. It contains the knowledge of the past and the future, the present, etc. The Imam says, we know the Quran, thus you should not find my word bizarre. In fact, there is a verse in the Quran that we've read day and night, a verse that we tend to read, many of us tend to read every day or every night, which confirms everything we're saying at the moment. A verse, a decisive verse, which tells you that the Imams, peace be upon them, possess the knowledge of all things. Which verse is this? Verse 12 of Surah Yasin. When Allah says, وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَحْصَيْنَاهُ فِي إِمَامٍ مُبِينٍ. What is Allah saying? He's saying, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have recorded everything in an apparent imam. We've instilled the knowledge of all things. Where? In an apparent imam. Who is this apparent imam? Before we try to find out who is this imam that the Quran speaks about, let's dissect the verse for a few moments. Allah's telling you, kulla shay. Kulla means every, right? Shay means what? Shay is the vastest word in the Arabic language. Anything in existence, anything you imagine, even if that thing does not exist, is a shay. Sometimes you might think of certain issues that cannot exist, certain issues that are impossible. Even that imaginary thing is a shay. Allah tells you there is an imam who has knowledge of all ashya, of everything. Who is that imam? The tradition of Imam al-Baqir, peace be upon him, says, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa ajal farajhum. He says, when this verse descended, Abu Bakr and Umar rose and asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Who is this imam? Who is this imam who possesses the knowledge of all things? Is it the Torah? The Prophet said no. They said, is it the Gospel, the Injil? He said no. They said, is it the Quran? He said no. At that moment, the walking, talking, speaking Quran, Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhi salam, made an appearance. He made an appearance, peace be upon him, and the Prophet pointed to him, saying, Huwa hadha, this is the Imam, this is the apparent Imam. Innahu al-Imam alladhi ahsa Allahu fihi tabaraka wa ta'ala alim kulli shay'. This is the Imam in which Allah Ta'ala has instilled the knowledge of all things. In fact, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, the famous tradition of Rasulullah, confirms whatever we just said. The Prophet says what? The Prophet says, Ana madinatun ilm wa aliyun babuha. He says, I am the city of knowledge. What does that mean? If you dissect the hadith from a grammar perspective, the Prophet says, al-ilm. This al, the knowledge, indicates that all sciences lie within the chest of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet knows about all sciences that we've discovered and all sciences that we have not discovered. All the secrets that lie within this universe are exposed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hence he says, I am the city of knowledge. But who's its gate? And Ali is its gate. Hence, whosoever seeks the city should seek it from its gate, meaning that the knowledge of Ali is my knowledge, and my knowledge is his, peace be upon them both. This is the same knowledge that was passed down from one imam to the other. Hence you find that never did our imams, peace be upon them, fail to answer a question. When you read their ahadith, their traditions, you'll never find the imam stumbling. You'll never find an imam failing to answer a question. In fact, you'll never find him failing to present a convincing answer. The Imam always possesses the ability to do what? To present an answer that convinces the opponent. Let me give you an example. One day, Abu Ja'far al-Mansur, the killer of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad, was sitting beside Imam al-Sadiq as a fly was bothering al-Mansur. You know, flies sometimes bother you, right? It was landing on Mansur, then flying away, coming back on Mansur, flying away. And so Mansur was disturbed. He asked Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, he said, why has Allah Ta'ala created flies? What is the reason behind the creation of the flies? What will the Imam say, peace be upon him? He presented a marvelous answer. He said, Allah created flies so that he humiliates arrogant tyrants. To humiliate arrogant tyrants. The Imams alayhim salam were always able to present a decisive, convincing answer indeed, for they were the containers of knowledge. Amongst them was who? Was Al-Husayn salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayh. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. That pure Imam, the master of the martyrs, was the container of knowledge. What did they do to that container? What did they do to the chest of the Imam, peace be upon him? Instead of honoring the Imam, instead of respecting him, they disrespected him. They made sure to break the bones of his chest, peace be upon him. They made sure to trample his body and to pound his blessed ribs, to crush the ribs of Abi Abdullah, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayh. This tragedy left a scar in the hearts of Ahlul Bayt, salamullahi alayhim. Hence, one day, Sayyid al-Himyari, may Allah bless his soul, came to Imam al-Sadiq, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayh. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. And sought permission to enter upon the Imam. When the Imam knew that Sayyid al-Himyari had come, he was very respected by the Imam, peace be upon him. The Imam placed his women behind a curtain. He was preparing the atmosphere for what? For a majlis. He was preparing the atmosphere for a Husayni majlis. For Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salatu was-salam, were the ones who upheld the first majalis for Imam al-Husayn, peace be upon them. He told his companion to bring Sayyid al-Himyari. When Sayyid al-Himyari came, he saluted the Imam. Then he sat down. The Imam told him, recite poetry for Aba Abdullah. Now the Imam wants to hear the poetry for Imam al-Husayn. He wants to cry for his grandfather, and he wants his women to hear the majlis of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn. And so Sayyid al-Himyari recited famous lines of poetry. He composed lines of poetry where he says, Umrur ala jadath al-Husayn wa qul li a'zumihi al-zakiyah. He says, go by the grave of Husayn and address his blessed bones. Let us hear the recitation of Sayyid al-Himyari with Imam al-Sadiq. أمرور على جدث الحسين وقل لأعظم الزكية. He says, go by the grave of Hussein and address his blessed bones, his pure bones. What should we tell those bones, O Sayyid Himyari? ما لذ عيش بعد رضك بالجياد الأعوجية. Bones of Hussein, our lives have become devoid of joy after hearing that you were crushed with the awaji horses. فإذا يا 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 مرا
مررت بقبري فاطل بوقف المطية. He says if you go beside, if you go by the grave of Hussein, then prolong your stay. Why should we prolong our stay? He says فاطل به وقف المطية وابكي المطهرة للمطهر والمطهرة النقية. He says cry for the purified, for the sake of his pure parents Ali and Fatima. How should we cry? كبكى يا معونة أتت يوما لواحد المنية. Cry like a bereft mother. Cry like a mother who lost her child. The narrator says Ja'far al-Sadiq began weeping. The tears of the Imam flowed on his beard. And the women of the Imam began wailing. Allahu Akbar, I say, Sayyidi Ya Ja'far al-Sadiq, when you heard the words of Sayyid Hayd of Sayyid al-Himyari, you cried, your women wailed. Master O Ja'far, what would have been your state if you were in the shoes of Sayyida Zainab? Allahu Akbar, what does Zainab see after the killing of the Imam? It is said that when the Imam was killed, Zainab and the women of Ahlul Bayt came to the blessed body of the Imam, peace be upon him. They came to that decapitated body. Na'am, as they were beside that body, Zainab salamullahi alayha addresses Umar bin Saad. She tells him, will you not bury the stranger? Na'am, it's as if she's saying, will you not allow Zain al-Abidin to bury him? Are you going to leave him on the plains of Karbala? And so Umar bin Saad tells her, he says, we will prepare him for burial. However, remove the orphans, put the orphans aside. Na'am, Zainab alayhi salam tries to move aside. However, the orphans remain beside the body of the Imam. Every time she tries to move one orphan off the body of the Imam, another orphan comes to that blessed body. Ajarakumullah. When they stood aside, what does Zainab see? Zainab sees 10 horses approaching the body of the Imam. Aywa Husayna, wa mazluma. It was enough to use one horse. No, they used 10. The horses trampled the body of the Imam. They crushed the bones of Hussein. Ah, wa imamah, wa mazlumah. This is why the poet addresses Hussein saying, وصدرك مستودع العلم والعجب لتحطيمه جيش من الجهل يعمد. He says, oh Imam, was it your chest that was pounded by horses, or was it the container of knowledge? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah al-ali al-azim. Wa sayalamu alladhina zalamu ayyamun qalabin yanqalibun. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. اللهم إنا نسألك وندعوك بأحب الخلق إليك محمد وعلي وفاطمة والحسن والحسين واتسعة المعصومين من ذرية الحسين فرج عنا يا الله.
We ask Allah Ta'ala to hasten the reappearance of Sahib al-Zaman, to forgive our sins, to fulfill our needs. If anyone has a need, ask it and Allah Ta'ala will answer your call.
اللهم بحق غريب الغرباء وسيد الشهداء اقضي حاجة كل محتاج يا كريم.
We ask Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to bless the souls of all believers who have passed away, especially the marhumin for whom this majlis has been organized, and especially those who are completely forgotten and never mentioned. We shall send the rewards of our majlis to their graves and the rewards of Surah Al-Fatiha after a loud salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin.